Wow, how many of you are happy to hear today? Wow, I cannot wait for what God has for us. But before our Father comes, I want us to receive one of the sweetest, one of the most anointed minstrels in the world today, Lady Pastor Ida. Hold your hands together for Jesus. Wow. You have seen her in flesh and blood.
Turn back. until your life is done. If you love me, obey the Great Commission, yeah. Build churches everywhere. In every town, every province, every city, yeah. Africa shall be saved. But tell me, how long is it gonna take for you to obey me? I have a feeling that I'm waiting in vain for you to do my will. Vision, and your vision must be big. But all you do does not lead to church growth, because your mind is on other things. All you say is, Lord, bless me now. You say, Lord, bless me and prosper me today. So I have been thinking to myself, it seems I'm wasting time on you. So I wanna change your position. I'm gonna replace you. I'm gonna bring in someone else. I keep waiting in vain for you to do my will. Tell my church, oh, I have a feeling that I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting in vain for you to do my will. That's why I keep asking, am I gonna wait in vain for your love? You tell me, am I gonna wait in vain for your love? Excuses, more and more excuses. Honestly, I don't think that you love me. I think your heart is somewhere else. Because if you love me, hey, if you really love me, hey, you'd obey me, you would watch. love. Oh, is he gone or waiting there for your love? You tell me, is he gonna waiting? He wants to know now, is he gonna? How long must he keep waiting? Is he gonna? Waiting for you to plant more churches. Is he gonna? Waiting for you to reach out. Is he gonna? You got so many excuses. Is he gonna? You said my job, my family, my children, I cannot do it. Is he gonna? He's been waiting for you and 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 you. Is he gonna wait in there? Is he gonna wait in there? Mistake when I chose you. Should I have chosen another person or anointed another one? How many times will I give you dreams and visions and powerful convictions? Still you don't obey. The reason why I'm asking this question, you take it so lightly, you take me so lightly. If I give my heart to you, will you give your heart to me? And if I die for you, tell me, will you die for me too? If I shed my blood for you, what will you do with it? Will you cherish my blood? Will you despise it? So loved the world that he gave his only begotten. Whoever believes in Jesus should not perish but have new life. And God commended his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Jesus died on the cross for sinners. Yeah, the reason why I am quoting this scripture, it seems you've forgotten all about them. If I give my heart to you, what will you do with it? Will you tear it apart or will you treasure it? If I give my love to you, will you give your love to me? And if I die for you, will you die for me too? If I give my heart to you, point of showing so much love when I get so little feedback from the person I love so dearly. I wanna know if it all means nothing to you. What I am saying doesn't touch you. You don't care about what I care for. The reason why I am asking this question, you take it so lightly, yeah. You take me so lightly, yeah. If I give my heart to you, yeah, will you give your heart to me? And if I die for you, tell me, will you die for me too? If I shed my blood for you, what will you do with it? Will you despise my blood? Will you treasure it? If I give my heart to you, attention from you to an appreciative person who will not take my love for granted. Do you know how long I've been waiting? Have I waited in vain for nothing? It seems like you never really loved me. See, the reason why I'm speaking this way, took me for granted. Jesus gave his life for you. What did you do with it? Will you give him your heart? And will you love him back? If I give my heart to you, what will you do with it? Will you tear it apart? Or will you treasure it?
Put your hands together for Sister Ida. Wow. If I give my heart to you, what will you do with it? Wow. And we don't want God to wait in vain for our love. We will not disappoint God. Hallelujah. And now is the moment. This place feels like home. A home is when your father is and your sisters and brothers are around. Hallelujah. I can see a lot of my sisters and brothers are high. But I tell you, Daddy is in the house. I said, Daddy is in the house. Oh, Daddy is already coming. Daddy is in the house. Many, many, many years ago, Daddy sent me from Koligono headquarters to Tema. Daddy, thank you for sending me to Tema. These are the children you have in Tema. And today you have come home to your children. And you are welcome, Bishop.
What a blessing. Let us pray. Father which art in heaven, thanks for bringing us here. Guide us and lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. You may be seated. Wow. What a blessing to be here. Are you excited to be here as I'm excited? It's nice to see you all. I am here on a mission. And I will explain my mission in the course of my discourse. Amen. Are you excited about my mission? Right. I really love the people who are standing at the back and in the aisle, including the photographer, to take your seats. I prefer that. Those outside who cannot sit down, I understand. But we're excited to be here. And we are building up towards a Good Friday. I believe you are all going to be at Good Friday. What is that? Somebody should turn up the mics. Maybe there's a mic that's on. Maybe somebody's left a mic on. Wow. So like I said, I'm here on a mission. And I'll be explaining my mission as we go along. Not for too long. A lot of the message that I have is already in the songs that we've been singing. Don't cut me down. Who is the cutter? Where are you? Upstairs. Make my sound a little brighter. Add some treble, please. And yes, a little better, brighter. And then don't reduce, don't cut me down. Cut back your feet. Maybe you should reduce this or disconnect this one. I suspect this particular speaker. All right. Now, you know, we've been here for a long time, isn't it? And it's time for us to do some new things. Now, one of the greatest mysteries is the mystery of prosperity. It's one of the greatest mysteries. The mystery of prosperity, like to prosper, is one of the most researched subjects. Like, what is the cause of riches and what is the cause of poverty? Did you know that? You can go on the internet and you find out. In my book, He That Has and He That Has Not, there is a particular chapter which says, research shows why he that has what he has and why he that has not. Research reveals. All right? So prosperity is one of the most elusive. Prosperity is like, it's like almost like finding a snake. Yeah. You will say, I'm going to find a snake. But you may not find it. I have found a snake almost everywhere I have ever lived. I found a snake mysteriously. You can never believe that a snake can be there. But there it was. Not in a forest. Not surrounded by forests. And there it is. But when you are going to look for it, like if I send you on a mission from now to Sunday, find a snake. Many of us will not be able to find a snake. Then suddenly you see one. I say, hey, where is it coming from? There's not even grass here. And that is why I say that snakes are some of the most elusive creatures. Elusive meaning difficult to locate. And that's how prosperity is. Because many people, you know, because I've been the pastor of the church, the same group, for more than 25 years, I've known people from the time they were teenagers. A lot of people from the time they were teenagers till now. So teenager plus 25, 28 to 30 years. You get it? So I've watched people trying hard to prosper. Not easy. Not easy. To get food and drink, yes. But to flourish in a certain way, not common, not easy to find. And many people who even seem to be prospering were actually not prospering. And later you find out it was all a debt. It was all loans. Are you listening to me? So, what I am here to share, you see, because you may not know that you are in one of the most prosperous churches and ministries in the country. Amen. You may not know, because the Bible says the ox knows his owner. The ox knows his owner. And the ass. You know, when you want to insult somebody, say your ass. Yes. So the one that you are insulting, like instead of calling him a donkey, you've called him an ass. He, Bible says, the ass knows his master's crib. But my people don't know and don't consider. Isaiah chapter 1. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know, and my people doth not consider. Because you can be in something, but you not understand what you are seeing. How do we know that? No leader of Ghana is a local grown vegetable. No leader of Ghana is a locally grown vegetable. What I mean is, no one who has ever been in charge of almost all the different departments of Ghana is like only local. It's not a local boy. No. They are all widely traveled and widely international. But you may see something, but you may not understand what you are seeing. It may be right before your eyes, but you don't understand it. So when you land at Kotoka, how to translate it into here is where the confusion sets in. But not that we are not international. No. There is no local. Kwame Nkrumah, what university did he go to? Is it not Oxford? Yes, like Lee Kuan Yew. Oxford. Oxford trained. No leader of Ghana has ever been a local boy. Even if they were local boys, when they became leaders, they went and came several times. Hey! But you may see something and not really understand what you are seeing. And because you don't understand it, when it's time for you to make it part of your own life, you fail to do so. So you may be part of this church. Are you with me? Probably the largest charismatic ministry in the country, but you will not understand it. With more buildings. Wait. Don't clap. I'm not saying for you to clap. I'm explaining this one, that the ox knows his owner. That's what I'm explaining. And the ass knows where he's eating from. But my people, they don't know. I'm not saying something for you to clap. I'm explaining Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3. Yes. Yeah. You are looking at the author, an African author, the largest printing publishing in Africa by an African. Unless you don't consider me to be African. But if you don't consider me to be African, then where do I belong? Yeah. Yes. Practically. Just today somebody was giving me a testimony that he wrote a book and printed 5,000 copies. Yes, he was sharing with me. He wrote a book and he printed 5,000 copies. And because of that, he went into financial crisis. And I asked him, where are the books? He said, they are there. They are there. And he said to me, he has not been able to sell more than 700 of the books. Oh, yes. He said, so I know. During our last conference in South Africa, we sold 50,000 books. Not dash, sterling. 50,000 in 3 days. Yes. No, I'm explaining something. You got, if you are not in that area, you see, the ox, the one, he knows. But my people, they don't know. You'll be looking at it, but you don't know what you are looking at. Look, that's the verse right there. Ah, you'll be looking, but you don't know what you are looking at. Yes. Your church has built the largest private tertiary, it's not a university, but a tertiary campus. Largest. It's the largest. And maybe the most beautiful. That depends on your eyes. But in terms of largest, private, yes. Completed. Not fully completed, but almost. Oh, yes. But you wouldn't know. So you will be seeing, but you don't know what you are looking at. And you may be in it, but you don't. You even look somewhere else and look for it elsewhere. Yes. When a Ghanaian says he's going to Germany to preach, it's to a Ghanaian congregation. It's to a Ghanaian, about 30 members. He said, I'll go to Germany and then to the States and I'll be back. Oh, yes. Few Ghanaians preach to Russians, white Russians, Chinese, Indonesians, Singaporeans, Koreans, what have you. Few. But you see, you may be looking at some, but you don't know. Yes, Brazilians, Venezuelan, whatever. Few. We are all pastors. So the brother who made the 5,000, he told me, look, I made this 5,000 book 3 years ago. I went into financial crisis for 1 year. I had to withdraw from what I was doing for 1 year to recover. Even up to now, I have not recovered. And the books, they are there. 700. They sold. So when somebody has produced over 12 million books, you may not know what it is till you ever write one. And don't print 5,000 next time. Print 2,000 or 1,000. Start with 1,000. You still don't know, isn't it? Are you there or you are going home? The ox knows his owner. And the ass. I like the way God has added the ass to it. He's trying to poke us with a needle. The ass knows his master's crib. But my people don't think through it. So I'm saying it so that you will recognize that you are part of something that God has blessed over the years. And that blessing is something that belongs to all of us who are part of the family. Hallelujah. So, I really want you to tap into that blessing. Because over the years, and especially I'm speaking to those of you who are younger, because many people that are older don't realize those blessings, the blessing that come. In the book, He That Has, which is one of the greatest prosperity books you may ever want to read. If you are a lay person, that book must be a special book of study for you in pieces, small sections. Meditate on it, especially the word of God part of it. Try to get the revelation that is in the word. It's not my book, but the words that are the word of God. Try to get it so that it will really be a source of blessing to you. In one of the chapters, I said, the Bible said that about Saul. How shall this man save us? The Bible said the sons of Belial said, how can this man save us? How shall this man save us? Because when God sent somebody to them, they didn't recognize that they will be saved through this person. How shall this man save us? Yeah. So when a man is sent to you, you may despise the person who has been sent, and it was the sons of Belial who despised it. How shall this man save us? I mean, what can he do for us? That have been the unspoken song of a number of pastors and leaders amongst us who have then despised that wisdom. That is how come even you will see that even my carpenter or even some ordinary people who work for me are more prosperous than so-called pastors who are doing business. My carpenter or even my mason. Yes. And you see somebody say he's doing business. Open company limited. Company limited. Company what? Limited. Yeah. Have never stopped working. Some of those people since they started in 1992. Yes, and I prospered more. One day I saw one of my masons going to buy a Mercedes-Benz C-Class. Yes. A mason. Keep on saying, hey, because one of the keys to prosperity is to see that, like Laban, which is what always outsiders see. Laban said, I have seen that the Lord has blessed me because of you. It was his nephew, his sister's son. He said, you small boy, I have seen that God has blessed me because of you. I have seen that the Lord has blessed me because of you, my nephew, who can be my small boy, my son. But you see, people don't recognize. Nicodemus was not a disciple, but he said, look, no one can do this except the Lord is with you. So as the Lord has been with us and has taken us from a small classroom up to this point, many have been watching and not really prospering and not really rising. We have risen from a little classroom to an international, mega, worldwide ministry. Genuinely worldwide. Genuinely worldwide. Are you listening to me? Yes. So, I am saying that one of the keys is he that has recognizes those who have been sent. He said, I have sent Elisha. Elisha was sent to a widow. But why? That's why I said there were many widows, but only this one who was sent. Why do you think that is the only need? She was the one who will receive him. There were many lepers, but it was only Naaman. So Jesus is saying that not everybody is worthy to have such a great person sent to you. So I'm just saying that, look, as a part of this family, don't sit here and not benefit from the blessing that is here. Many times I've tried to tell my people, I say, come, sell cement so that we buy it from you. They are too big. Too big to sell cement. You say, why don't you sell iron? God, we are buying so much. A church that has almost 500 building projects at the same time. Is it a government? I'm telling you, a ministry that has almost 500 building projects going on at the same time. And I tell you, please sell cement. That is why carpenters are more prosperous. Because you can see that when your nearness to this thing is even of a greater blessing to you. The ox seems to know. But even take an ox, because an ox is, I was told this morning that an ox is a working cow. Like the meat is not good for eating. So it's used for labor. A laboring cow. Which the meat is not good for meat stew or even kebab. Hey! This donkey horse, cow, that is the animal that knows the owner. When he sees the owner, my food comes from you. And the ass, he knows his master's crib, that is where the food is coming from his master. When he sees it, and animals, they know. One time I went somewhere and I went to preach. There was a cow standing there and I preached to it. The verse I used for that sermon was John 3:16. I preached to the cow, literally. I stood there, I preached. The cow was chewing. Never said amen, never stopped chewing. That's why I don't like people chewing gum when I'm preaching. It reminds me of that cow. It reminds me of that cow. All those of you chewing gum, better take it out of your mouth right away. Lest you become an ox. But my people, they don't know where the food is going to come from. And they despise it. My people, you are healed from that disease today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So brothers and sisters, I've come here. It's a miracle service, but it's a miracle service with a little difference. It's not really about healing miracles, but healing of our hearts, our finances, our lives. Hallelujah. God is always healing us. God is always healing us. He's healing us of blindness. Amen. I see no reason why you should be part of this ministry and not be blessed. You are blessed. I say you are blessed, part of the family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what I want to share with you, which I've already started sharing, is about prosperity. You know, the healing of our finances. And if you want a title, the title will be very long. But I can give it to you if you want a long title. Yes. Do you want the title? The title of my message is, "You Can Never Know the Secret of My Prosperity Until You Know My Heart for God." If you want a title, but if you don't want a title, you can just say this: prosperity. You can never know my secret for prosperity, or the secret of the prosperity of the ministry, until you know my heart for God. You may think you can see the secrets and you can see the reasons for things, but you will never really know until you get to know a person's heart for God. Are you listening to me? My verses are very few. I don't have many verses for such a sermon. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. And the message is very short. Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Verse 3. Theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are they that mourn. They shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. So there is a blessing for people whose heart is pure towards God. Blessed are the pure in heart. You see, as long when we say pure, if we take pure water, when they write pure water, they are trying to say there's nothing else in the water apart from water. It's pure. But if you put one drop of ink in it, it's no more pure water. Most of us don't have a pure heart for God, because their heart is mixed with something else. It's like your eyes. When can you let one eye look up and one look down? Try it and see. Try looking up and down at the same time. Just use the right for up and the left for down. As long as you are half looking up and half looking down, you are not, which is not a purity. You are trying to look up and at the same time trying to look down. Trying to trust God and at the same time not really trusting God. Part of this church, but at the same time not really part of the church. sitting in the house, but not really part of the house. A pastor in the church, but not really baptized into the materials. You see people sending me texts. Bishop, that demons book that you wrote, we were so blessed with it. How many were blessed during the... Yes. But you see that, why does it have to take a compulsory superimposition of the book unto you before you even know what is in the book? Even pastors. So you see that we are, it's like there's a heart. That's why I said, you can never know the secret of the prosperity till you know a person's heart for God. Oh yes. You never know. You would think you know, but you don't know. You may say, oh, mene is like this, it's anewa. Oh, mene is like this. Oh, this one, he does this. Oh, this guy is because of this and that. Oh, this one, because of this and that and that. But you see, you may come up with 1,000 theories, but until you know a person's heart, you don't really know about the person. That's why it's easy to look from afar and come up with your theories. Because that's what happened with people. Everybody analyzes why this has happened, why this has happened, why this has happened. Everybody has his theory about why it has happened. But you will never know a person and why a person is there and is has been blessed by God until you know the person's heart for God. Well, I Bishop Duncan Williams, you can know him from afar. When you come near him, my experience, by being closer to him, my experience, I've been, when I've come closer to him, I found out more, like the thing that strikes me more than anything is the spirituality. You see, maybe from afar you may look at him and say it's prosperous or prosperity. But if you get close to him, I've been close to him for some years. Very close. I've flown with him, traveled with him, many things. I know him a bit more closely. The only, you don't even feel of anything having to do with even one dollar of money. You can never know the secret of anything until you know a person's heart. You may know the person's car or the outer impression of the person, but until you know the person's heart, but God don't know the person. And it is the heart which is determining everything.
All right.
And it is the pure in heart who have God involved. Look, how do you prosper? I'll tell you something. You know something. How do you prosper? The Bible says, labor not to be rich. It's in the Bible. Don't even try. The secret for riches is in the Bible. The blessing of the Lord. When God has blessed somebody, that's the person who will be rich. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh a person rich. It's in the Bible. It is the blessing of the Lord. That is why Jews, some people think Jews have recently been persecuted. There's a new book that I'll be releasing, God willing, soon. When you see what have happened to Jews, it's not Hitler. Hitler is very recent. They have been, look, many nations have said, all Jews leave. Then they all leave. Then after 300 years, they said, you can come back. Then leave again. A country like France, they have sacked Jews several times. Germany, several times. Many of the nations, Russia, all Jews, they have different stories about Jews that they kept coming up with. One was called blood libel, where they used to come up with a story that the Jews were using human beings, human children and human beings for the sacrifice, the Old Testament sacrifice. So they said they were using it. So there'll be there, somebody's dad is, hey, he's a Jew. He has, then the whole city will come, then they'll massacre 300, 700. They'll drive them like that throughout the centuries. This is their story. One after the other. There is nothing new that is happening. Only blessings and curses are that what are actually in operation. When and they like sacking them because everywhere they go, they become rich. So they keep on seizing their properties. They have been seized over in England, France, Germany, several times. Because wherever they go, they become rich. they sacked them from Europe. They sacked them from Europe. They went to America during the Second World War. That's all. That's the rich. The 40, all the billionaires of the world, 40% are Jews. The top 100 billionaires, 40% are Jews. It's a small group, but it's the blessing of the Lord. It's like, wherever you sack me, you kill me, you fry me, you do this, you see that, then it comes up again. Yes. You may not know, but when you are new, you will think, even your life, you may think something is happening, but it's actually, oh, it's an old curse that is following through. It's just following through. You are just part of it. You keep on crying to God and screaming about it. It's the same thing that is following through. A blessing is coming on you today. So, brothers and sisters, I am here to tell you that purity in your heart, seeking after God without mixing it with something else, is a key to seeing God, God's involvement in your life. Whatever you are part of, be in it with a pure heart. That is all out. If you are in Lighthouse, be in it fully and do everything. Learn as you are in it. Learn about prosperity. Learn it here. There are things here to learn. Even from me, what is my greatest secret of prosperity? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything shall be added unto you. That's a secret. It's a secret. Don't do it half and half. You see some lay pastors, they come up and they get to a point and say, oh, yeah, I'm doing business. No, there is never a time where God can afford to be made the number two in your life. I'm not talking about a full-time ministry. Not a full-time. I'm talking about just a normal good lay pastor. God will never be number two. There is nothing that will make God number two. What can make God number two? What is there? What topic? What issue is there that God will accept to be number two? What job? What politics? What? He can never be number two. Full-time ministry in collecting salary from the church is not the vision of Lighthouse Chapel International at all. It's about working for God with a pure heart so that you see God's involvement and God's hand. It is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. That is a reality. The blessing of the Lord. So, as we go out from here, purify your heart. Even me, in my position, I can have two aims. One, I'm trying to get money. And two, I'm trying to serve God. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing for me to have these two things. Then my heart is not pure because it's mixed. It's a mixture. Even in writing books, to have an aim to make money, to have an aim to make money, at once produces impurities in my heart. Because the aim of writing books is not to get money and not to sell. Whatever they sell, it doesn't mean anything. When they sell 100 or they don't sell, it doesn't change anything. I don't get anything from that. You can never know the secret of somebody's genuine prosperity until you know the person's heart for God. You may think you know, it's because the way he writes and he puts certain letters in capital letters. That is why the book has been selling. A lot of people are selling that book. You got the wrong secret. You look at the typesetting, but you should have looked for the heart. And until you know somebody's heart, you don't know him. Blessed are the pure. Pure. They are pure in their hearts. They shall see God coming into their life. You see God involved in what they are doing. You see God involved. You will see God from today involved in your life. Whatever is impure in your heart today, I curse that thing in the name of Jesus. I declare your heart is being made pure tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey. Are you still around? Are you sure you are still around? Wonderful. I'm glad you are around. Fantastic. Uh-oh. All right. Now, 2 Chronicles. Chapter 6. Then said Solomon, the Lord has said he would dwell in the thick darkness. Verse 2. But I have built a house of habitation for thee, a place of, for thy dwelling. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation. Verse 4. And he said, listen, oh, this is the dedication of the temple. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has with his hands fulfilled that which he spake by his mouth to my father David. Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build a house, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be ruler over my people, but I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there. Are you with me?
Yes.
And I have chosen David to be over my people. Verse 7. Look at verse 7. I want everybody to notice. It says, now it was in the heart of David. It was what? In the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. It was in my father's heart to build a house for God. You see, you even wonder why somebody like David should be blessed. Do you know anybody who has killed his assistant and married the assistant's wife and given birth with the assistant's wife? And he says, this is a man after my own heart. Come on, you must be joking. I said, you must be joking. It's a joke. But he said, it was in my father's heart. This is what was in his heart. You see, it's until you know what's in somebody's heart, and until you know the person's heart for God, you will never know the real secret to the person's blessings. You think you know about the person. You say it's his song. You say it's his psalm. You say it is this. But until you know the person's heart for God, because God seeth not as man seeth. Man look on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart directly. Verse 8. But the Lord said to David, my father, for as much as it was in thy heart to build me a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. You did well in that. That is what was in your heart. You did well. And you see that he keeps referring to the heart. For as much as it was in thy heart to build, you did well. You did well. You did well. That in that, this is what you did well with. That in that, it was in thine heart. You never know the secret of somebody's prosperity. You would think, oh, it is the course he did in school. You know, he did agronometricals. You know, he did this, he did that. You can never know. He said, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Wow. It is in my heart to build churches for God. Oh, yes. And it should be in the heart of every lighthouse. Look, everybody here. Yes. To build a house for God. Nobody here should allow your hometown not to have a lighthouse church. Till before you die. Lighthouse or First Love or Belle Eglise or whatever it's called. It's the same, but it's different. Like we have Audi and VW is all the same company. Yeah. No. Must be in your heart. Then look at what he promised him after that. He said in verse 9, read on. He said, notwithstanding, thou shalt not build a house, but thy son. You see, the son that you give birth to could have become what is that disease? No. Cerebral palsy during birth. When he says thy son, when he says that, because I'm a pastor of children now, when I see the children, I see their parents. Yes. I see this somebody's daughter, this somebody's, they have become more precious like eggs to me. I look at them, I say, look. All my members are pastors' children. Plenty. But all my pastor's children are with me. Yes, I counsel them today. I did counsel one by one. I lay hands. I said, I must lay hands on you at least 6 times this year for wisdom to enter your head. Yes. 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 When he says, thy son, your child, you can have children. You don't know how it will become. You don't know how it will be. But he said, your son. This is what will be for your son. You don't understand it. Till you have children, you understand it as you go. What will be of your son? And what will be of your daughter? Oh. He said he will build a house. It's like he's already described his future. Because he will need peace. Somebody could have killed him. Kwame Nkrumah started, he was killed. Oh, he was overthrown. Hufebwayin, was never overthrown. He lived until he was a very old man. They all came to power at the same time. Hufebwayin prospered so much that at the end of his reign, he built the basilica to give thanks to God at the cost of several hundred millions of dollars, including his own money. He said, when we went to Yamoussoukro, they told us, he said, I am building it to say thank you to God for keeping me on the throne. For more than 30, 40 years I've been here. Nothing has been able to move me from here. Thy son, this is what he will do. Verse 10. The Lord has performed his word. And he said, that Solomon is saying, Solomon is the one who said, look, I have risen up in the room of my father David. And I'm now set on his throne as the Lord promised. And I built the house for the name of the Lord God. And he promised him, I will bless your children. When he originally told him, I will bless you, your family. Always, I will show mercy to your family members. I will show mercy to your family members. I will forgive. I will never remove my mercy like what I did for Saul. That I won't forgive him. I will show kindness and give grant escapes and grace. And I will be gracious to them. Even when they make mistakes. He knew they will make mistakes. But you will never know the secret of somebody's blessing until you know the person's heart for God. You will never. You will never. And I will advise every one of us here to turn. It's not only the pastor whose heart must turn. All of us must turn our hearts to God. One eye up and the other one straight up. Not one up and one down. You will never know a person's secret of real blessing until you know his heart for God. You will never know. You will think you know. You will give reasons. You will give explanations. Oh, the guy, because he's half caste, you see, because of this, because it's like that. This is because of
You will give explanations, but you will never know the reason.
First Chronicles chapter 29. Are you still here? Yeah, it won't be long. We'll be. Now, First Chronicles chapter 29. This is David at his end. He said, furthermore, David the king said to the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender. The work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Listen. He says, now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. Lord, he has not prepared for his family. I prepared all this for my family. Ask Gideon. Gideon had 70 sons. When Gideon died, somebody rose up. Gideon had different wives, including concubines. One of the concubine's sons rose up and said, is it better that 70 people should rule over you when Gideon died? Or one person? Who should be? Do you think it's better for a committee of 70 or just one person? And the people said, oh, it's better than one person. And he said, bring the heads of the others. And they killed all of Gideon's children were killed in one day. People, you see, some of us are older. We have children. People prepare for their children. David prepared with might, with strength for the house of my God. Gold, brass for the things of brass, iron for the things of iron, wood for the things, onyx stones, glittering stones, diverse colors, all manner of precious stones and marble in abundance. Verse 3. Look at this verse. You will never know the secret of somebody. Jesus Christ himself is born on the throne of David. That is why up till today, Israel, the Israeli flag is the Star of David. And Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, sits on the throne of David. That's why he comes from the tribe of Judah. When you read Matthew there, this after this begot this, it's come through David all the way down to Jesus. Jesus, the direct descendant of David, if you are going by bloodline. His word has come to pass. Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the mighty for the whole world through the line of David. Why? Look at this. Look at it. Look at David. Look at his son. Moreover, after using all my might to prepare, not for my children or my whatever, but for my house, for the house of God. Moreover, because I have set my affection, to the house of my God. Oh, I have of my own proper good. Of gold and silver I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Verse 4. Even 3,000 talents of gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver, and he goes on and on and on. Many things. You never know the secret of somebody's prosperity till you know the person's heart for God. Are you still around? Yes. Or you've resigned? Try to see the secret of going from a Kolebu classroom to a worldwide ministry, multi-million dollar ministry. Yes, you are looking at it practically. You should learn. When you see your father walking in a batik shirt, you should know that batik shirt shouldn't deceive you. The one who is walking there is not
as ordinary as it looks. Your eyes should open. Because the ox even knows. So the, when you come in a batik shirt or in a suit, he knows his owner. But some of you, unless they come in a suit, you don't recognize it. It's true. You want it in a certain way. That's why today when I was coming, I came in a Land Cruiser. I called one of my members who has a Land Cruiser. I said, come, drive me so that we do Joe impress, small Joe impress. Because where I'm going, they like Joe impress. So I'm going to do Joe impress for them to say that I also have a Land Cruiser. Because some of you, when you don't see certain things, you think that it's nothing. But that is your mistake. But the ox, even when you are wearing a t-shirt and chale water, he can see that whether you are wearing chale water or not, you are my owner. Where is my food? Are you still around? So, like I told you, I'm here on a mission. And so I finished preaching now. Sermon has ended. Eh? Okay. Are you blessed? How many are blessed today? How many want to have a heart for God? A heart for God. A heart for God. A heart for God. God will bless you more than money can do. What he will give you, money cannot do it for you. Receive the blessing that comes from above and from God. Receive that blessing. In Jesus' name. Yes, your heart is changing as I'm speaking. I say your heart is changing as I'm speaking. Your heart is changing as I'm speaking. You are getting a heart for your God. Your God. Your God and his house. Yes. And people will see you and wonder, what is the secret of this man's blessing? What is the secret of this man's blessing? What is the secret of this man? Is it leadership style? Or managerial skills? Administrative strategies? Is it media and advertisement and publicity? What is it? Until you know a person's heart for God, you don't know the reason for the person's prosperity and blessing. Whatever is in your heart tonight that is not of God, I expel it today in Jesus' name. Receive a pure heart for the love of God from today. May you walk in the great abundance that comes to those who are blessed by the Lord. In the name of Jesus. And as this house flourishes and prospers, may your personal house flourish and prosper alongside. Whatever secret there is that is here, that has given rise from one classroom to a multi-million dollar ministry, is released into your life today. In the name of Jesus. Whatever makes you poor and keeps you poor, I cancel it today in the name of Jesus. You will never be poor after this night. In the name of Jesus. From the young to the little to the old to the middle age, you will never be poor again because of the heart of God that God is giving to you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. May your children be remembered always because of the heart you have for God. May your children be special to God because of the heart of God. May God remember your sons and your daughters. May God remember you because of your heart for him. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a shout and a clap offering. You may be seated. Wow. Are you excited tonight? Now, for my mission, I'm very happy to announce to you that God has blessed our church here, and we are going to have a new bishop who is going to be consecrated
very soon from here. And that is, Pastor Mousy is going to be consecrated as a bishop right here. That is a blessing. How many are going to be there? It's going to be held in Mampong, so you have to come on Akazu. Yes. Sit down. I've not finished my mission. The second mission. Are you there? The second mission is, I mean, when I entered this place, I could see that my mission was even overdue. This church is now very old for us and too small for us. So, we are going to build another big church somewhere. Hallelujah. Amen. Sit down. Yes. We know that we have branches and all that, but we now need something more mega, 21st century mega, that is more appropriate. Amen. We thank God for here, but I think it's time for something more mightier and mega. So I am sending Bishop Sam again to go and build that new church. Amen. Right, it's right for right in the Tema area. Are you excited? Let me finish my mission. You know, when you are a bishop, when you become a bishop and then you cross 50, we have what we call rejuvenation exercise. Rejuvenate means to make younger. Where we enter into youthful missions. Like myself, with the First Love Church, Bishop Saki is at Kadesh. When you go and you see the caterpillars and the construction that is there, it's not a small thing. And Bishop Eddie's at another side, the Kadesh. When you go and you see that, they are even more advanced. Yes, they are casting the whole floor now. They will be moving in very soon. Yes. And Tema cannot be left behind. How many want a young Bishop Sam? Very young, very young. Wow. So, I want us all to be part of that project as we build there. When Pastor Mao is going to be Bishop Mousy, be here with you, and then Bishop Sam is on rejuvenation mission. right in your area here, just here, where, near, what is it, that place called? Dawenya land, just here. Even we should be doing two because of the distance. I can see that Tema is very huge. That's expanded beyond all the way. Yes, very huge. And you see, in a few years' time, you see that even here, it is like this place is becoming like Jamestown. Do you know Jamestown in Accra? This place is becoming like Jamestown, British Accra. It's like an old area. Hey, is it exciting? Now you see, because of I've set my proper affection, because we will all die. In about 17 years, if I am alive, I will be 70 years old. Just about 17 years. If I'm alive, by God's grace, in 17 years, I'll be 70. Yes. What else is there to do than to do something for the house of God? You see, do I look like I will soon be 70? But the time is going. So now you say, does it look like 5 o'clock? Does it look like 6 o'clock? I say, when you check, you say, it is true, it's 6 o'clock. It's amazing. Yeah. What else can you do than to try your very best to do something for the Lord? Yes. God will take care of the rest. Our children, money, what have you. Look, our proper affection, our heart must be for his wonderful house. What we can do to build his house whilst we are here. And there are places in the world you can no more build this house. Much of Europe and the Middle East, they are completely in darkness. They do not accept anything Christian. Yes. Are you listening to me? So, I believe that this is a great healing of our hearts. Put your hand on your heart. Father, thank you for the healing of our hearts. Instead of retiring, we are refiring. Instead of saying we have arrived, we are saying we are on our way. In Jesus' name, heal our heart from every looking to the right and to the left, that we may love you specially. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So this is my mission. What I have shared with you. You are going to have a new bishop. And you are going to have a new church building. Mighty. When you even come here, you will feel ashamed. When I go to Kolegon or somebody, I say, oh, is this what we were fighting over? I feel wonderful. But you see, God had greater things in store. More. Yes. And since I moved out of the Kodesh, I've never actually been in the Kodesh ever since it was built. I've never actually been there. I was there briefly, but I was out. And Bishop Saki was there. And Bishop Saki has also left. And it has rather grown bigger. The attendance is now more because we have the records. It's now more. And many of you, you are so happy that your children are being pastored and looked after. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to serve you in a wonderful way. We give you thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So now, before we end, I want you and us to pay for the land that we are going to get. We already have the land. We already have it. But we haven't finished paying. Because I don't know if you know that you over here are building the church in Lome. Are you aware? You see, God forbid that will ever happen. But the day that you see that you are running this way, When you get to Lome, you see that your church is there. This is my church. And the Kodesh are just about to start Abidjan Kodesh building. Yes. They are building. We are building the churches for God's. That is what lead the heart must be God and his house. Period. Yes. Most of what we are doing, people don't know. And they don't need to know. Yes. They don't need to know. Somebody was at, they were asking me, do we want this thing to be on television? I said, no. This is a private service. We are having our own private. It's our own private thing. We are not trying to show people what we are doing. It's not necessary. Let's just do the right thing. God will bless us. You can never know the secret of somebody's prosperity until what? You know the person's heart for God. Amazing. Amen. So, give me some envelopes now. I just want quickly, I want us to raise about 400.